Well, good morning, everyone, and very, very warm welcome to our service on this Advent Sunday, a really special time for the church. It's the beginning of the church's year. It's this time of waiting upon God. It's a time of expectancy, a time of hope, a time of anticipation as we look forward to the coming of Jesus, both as a baby is in Bethlehem and also as Saviour of our world in the second coming that will bring everything together into complete healing and wholeness. It's a very exciting time, and it's an opportunity for us to think again about what it means to be a person who is seeking to find the light that guides us through the path. Advent is a time when we have lots of new symbols, new signs and symbols around us. Not just the ones that we can see being played in front of us, but also things like candles, coloured candles and Advent wreaths. And we're very grateful to Mary Flynn for making this wonderful sign of Advent. Our lives are full of signs and symbols, aren't they? There are all sorts of things that we see around us that point us to things that are of special significance. And I've been looking at a few over these last couple of days, and I've seen a few that you might recognise. Here's one of them that I saw on the edge of Castle Morton Common. Now, this has a special meaning. Who can tell me what this is telling us? Yes? There are cows for 3/4 of a mile. That's right. And the red triangle means it's a warning so that when people come past or you're driving or walking, you are warned that there are cattle on the road or around the road. And as I drove on, sure enough, I saw There were cows on the road. So I was careful in my driving because I understood the meaning of the sign. If I was a walker, I would also need to be careful because I would look out for the sign because I might trade in one of these. So I'd have to be extra careful. So signs and symbols are very helpful to have, and they are really important. And our church is full of signs and symbols as well. Can we see any signs or symbols around? Anybody can spot one straight away? Put their hand up. Look around you. What can you see? Poo, yes. That's right. Well, that was one of the symbols. But I can see behind me there's a cross, isn't there? There are two crosses, one a wooden one up there and a brass one on the altar. That's one of the great symbols of Christianity, telling us about Jesus and all his love for the world. But we also have here special candles that remind us of Advent. And there are four candles. Sorry, I won't go on to that one. Four candles around one central one. And of course, the four candles symbolize each of the Sundays of Advent, and they stand for certain themes. One, which is today's theme, is the symbol of hope, then the symbol of peace, the symbol of joy, the symbol of love, rather, and then the symbol of joy. And this, you'll notice that the pink one here is the fourth candle of Advent, which is when we think about the Virgin Mary and the joy that God she experienced when God gave her the promise of Jesus coming. So we are really thrilled to have these candles. The one in the middle, of course, what does that remind us of? When do we light that? Yes? When Jesus was born, yes! You have a birthday candles on our cake, don't you, when you remember when you were born? And the candle on the middle is the one that reminds us of Jesus being born, which is a fantastic celebration at the end of Advent. So, what remains to be done is for us to... Oh, I just remind as well, all this greenery as well is of real significance. It's all evergreen. There's holly and there's spruce and various things that are always green. Another symbol that reminds us that the love of God is never ending. It's always green and good. So there's lots of symbolism around. Now I need somebody who will help me to light the first Advent candle. Yeah, I can see somebody right at the back. Oh, are they here? Sorry, hang on a second. Maybe you can do it. Oh, thank you. Oh, great. I was going to ask you. I didn't quite get time to see you before the service. It's David and Julia. So I wonder whether David and Julia would come up and help us to light the first Advent candle. Would that be all right? Fantastic. Let me light it for you. Can you just come to the side, come round this side, and the people can see. Right. Do you like this one here? That'd be fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. And before you go, we are going to be wishing and praying for you all as a family soon, because you're going to be moving back to Bristol after this Sunday. This will be your last Sunday. And it's been so lovely to have you with us over this time. Family from Ukraine that have been able to live with Georgina and everybody who's in that family. And we really have appreciated having you as part of our church for this time. Thank you for coming. And happy birthday to you as well.
Thank you.
It's really wonderful. So let's just ask God to bless you as a family, and we'll go forward from there. So, what's your name? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way in which Julia and David has come and made their home. We thank you for Georgina and for Isaac and all the family who welcomed them. And we pray that you would bless them as they move to Bristol and enable them to know your hope in their lives every day. Amen. Thank you very much indeed. So let's move to our words. We have some special liturgies for Advent. You'll find there's a different feel to our service. And here we have a first words that remind us of why this time is so important. So we light the first candle of Advent. We kindle it with hope. We long, Lord, for you to come to our world, to break through and to reign with compassion, justice and peace. The prophet Isaiah promised that God would teach us his ways, that we might walk in his paths. He called God's people to do right, to walk in the light of the Lord. And this Advent, we call out to God. Mighty God, creator of the world, show us all that keeps us from you. We ask for your mercy and grace to be remade in your image. This Advent, visit this world with your justice, love, peace. Amen. Let's stand to sing. And if you'd like to worship by waving flags or some musical instruments, come down the front now. We've got two wonderful songs, starting with Jesus, Light of the World. Thank you. Salvation, healing, hope and joy in the place of darkness, despair and apathy. Lord, give us such a sense of your coming among us that we might enjoy living in that hope every day of our lives. We worship you, Lord. Take the offering we pray, that we bring today, and bless it that we might be a blessing to others. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Spirit. And all the people said, Amen. So as the children move to their groups, can I encourage you just to enjoy and take part in the wonderful displays that Helen Simpson has put together outside in the corridor on those themes of Advent, and find a way of participating this Advent in ways that will bless others. I'm going to invite Dave to come and just introduce something a bit more about what's happening this Advent in this church and in All Saints. Thank you, Dave.
Morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all here and to be able to enjoy the service from the back. It's great. I wanted to really just highlight something that is we're feeling is really important in this Advent season. Advent is a time of slowing down in this Christmas season. A time of slowing down, a time of waiting, a time of preparing. And we've been sensing as a church leadership, that God's calling us, particularly this Advent, to a special time of prayer and of waiting on him. But waiting for two things, I think, particularly. One, just waiting in God's presence for God to reveal more of himself to us. That actually, if you like, Christ will come again afresh in our hearts this Advent. And you know, that's more important than anything. we pray for a new revelation of who Jesus is in us this Advent, and we spend time specifically just being in God's presence for God to reveal that to us. So that's the first thing. But also secondly, we're sensing God's saying, will you wait on me for direction in this season? You know, we've had an interesting year. There's lots of changes. There's lots of changes happening. One of the changes that's happening is Lynn Sparks, our team vicar, who works at St. Mary's, is going to be retiring at the end of January. And there's big questions as to what's going to happen there and how that affects us as a church and as a team. And we need to really pray for God's direction. Not just that, but also what's God inviting us into in this next season? You know, I'm sensing that actually God is wanting to just put a few specific priorities for us to really focus on in this next season. So we're wanting to wait on God for direction, for vision, for what he wants to say to us for this next season. Those two things. And so what we're going to have over these next few weeks in Advent is a series of opportunities to pray together and wait together, but also we're inviting you as individuals, us as a church full of individuals, to just take some time out to wait on God together too. You will have hopefully, well, I think we might have run out, received a handout which gives some more details, and on the back there's a whole load of different prayer times and waiting times there are in this next month. That also was on the extra mailing that came out this week. We'll perhaps print a few more out. But a few things that are particularly happening this week. Starting tonight, we've not got an evening service here tonight. Our 6 is up at All Saints, deeper up at All Saints, where we're going to think about waiting and have a time of waiting and worship up there. Then we're doing some other things. Tuesday, All Saints Life Group, details are on the bit of paper. We're going to have some 5 o'clock prayers at St. Andrew's here on Tuesdays throughout Advent. Wednesday is opportunities. Jane's going to lead some waiting with music at 11 o'clock on Wednesdays, and Friday prayers and Wednesday prayers at St. Andrew's as normal. And then next Saturday, after the men's breakfast, men who want to come to the men's breakfast, you might miss the first bit, but Paul Hunt is going to be leading an Advent quiet morning here as well, another opportunity to wait and pray. So we really want to encourage you to be part of this. There are some specific questions which are up all the way around the church, actually, and on this bit of paper, which we particularly want you to pray into. And we invite anybody to feed back to us anything that you sense God saying. We're going to collate this in the new year and have a look at where God is leading us from this. So please find some time to meet with God, to wait, to encounter him afresh, to seek his direction together this Advent, and let's be excited about where God might lead us.
And I think we should as well pray for Dave as the person who is overseeing all these different things. It's a real time of transition, and we want to support Dave and Alice and the family, because it's a huge responsibility, especially at a time of change and transition. So let's come before God and take that time to set aside in order that we might hear what he has to say for us and to us. We want to turn to God in prayer now, as we come to seek his forgiveness and cleansing, the beginning of this new church year, and recognize that it is only through the forgiving love of Christ that we are put right with God, and that the Holy Spirit moves us into that place of recognition, what we need to be forgiven for, and how much God loves to forgive us. The Apostle Paul writes, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The hour has come for you to wake from your slumber. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's take a few moments of quiet to respond to that, to set aside those areas of our lives which are preventing us from being as close to God as we would love to be. Let us do that which will bring peace and purity. Let us confess our sins to God, seeking his mercy and forgiveness, saying together, Holy and forgiving God, we have sinned against you and each other in thought and word and deed. We have turned from your life-giving word and ignored the message of those you sent. We are unprepared for the advent of your Son. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, that strengthened by your Spirit, we may faithfully and fruitfully live your life where you have placed us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may God in his mercy forgive us, draw close to us, embrace us once again in his loving arms, and enable us to follow him in worship and grateful service each day of our lives. Amen. As we come now to be open to God's word and to hear in our hearts and in our minds that which he wants to speak to us, let's sing as maybe remains quiet, seated for the beginning of this song. This is a beautiful song that enables us to put into words our desire that God would speak to us afresh.
God's our way to rest.
Derek comes to bring God's word, and then Helen comes to apply that word to our own lives. We pray that prayer. God will speak to us for his glory. Let's be open to all that God has to say to us today.
The first reading this morning is from Isaiah 2, verses 1 to 5, the mountain of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will preach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not stand upon sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The second reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. The day is near. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In this era of the Bible reading app, Lectio 365, Word for the Day, Scripture Union Bible Reading Aids, and many others, there's a wonderful selection of ways in which we can engage with God and his word every day. One advantage of some of these apps is that you're drawn into prayer and worship with a wider Christian community in a way that hasn't been possible in the past. You know, where there's somebody speaking and you can listen and there's music playing, Lectio 365 is probably the most popular of these. But I also have on my phone the daily prayer app of the Church of England. It's called Prayer During the Day, and when you play it, there are several voices for you to join in with. And I can find myself involved in corporate worship with others beyond the confines of my own personal space. And there's something very uplifting about that. But sometimes I just like a book. Maybe it's because I like variety, but in part it's also because I can see where I am in the bigger picture of the daily Bible reading plan and know that I'm in the season of Advent beginning today. Morning prayer from the C of E opens with this daily prayer. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. And then it says, silence is kept. Listening time. Waiting time. And the prayer then continues, as we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. I was reminded of this when I read our reading for the first Sunday of Advent from Romans 13. At first sight, they seem similar, but listen closely. Paul writes this, and it might help to have the text of these few verses from Romans open in front of you, because Paul is very dense in what he's saying here. And he says, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. There are similar ideas to the C of E daily prayer. The waking from sleep, transferring from darkness to light. But the Church of England one is more physical. It sort of has the impression that we're up, we're dressed. We can come to pray with others. You know, wakey, wakey, rise and shine, let's go. That type of thing. But fear for Paul in Romans 13, the night is nearly over. The day is almost there. He's saying we haven't yet completely entered a new day spiritually. We're moving from darkness to light. We're getting there, but we're not there yet. Rather, we're on the cusp of the dawn. He is telling the Christians in Rome that the darkness is receding and the light is coming in. But we're at a moment between the now and the not yet. Our salvation, he says in verse 11, is nearer now than when we first believed. In other words, we're in the time between the first coming of Jesus as one of us and the second coming of Jesus when he returns in glory. Paul is saying that that means that we're in a time of transition. From darkness to light, from the bad old ways that we used to know into something better, to waiting for the kingdom to come in all its fullness. Verse 11, he says, do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. He's all about what it means to understand the present time. Now, there are two words in the original Greek New Testament documents, both of which are translated as time in the English. There is the Greek word kairos, meaning a singular moment, the right or opportune moment. And there is chronos, the word from which we get chronology, that refers to chronological or sequential time. The moments here that make up our transition journey from darkness to light, Paul calls kairos time. Kairos signifies a time in which an event of significance happens. It is the perfect, delicate, crucial moment. Paul used it earlier in Romans 5:6 when he says that God sent Jesus to die for us at just the right time. And when here in Romans 13 he writes that we need to be understanding the present time, the word he uses is kairos. This is the call of Advent. To seize the moment. To achieve something that counts for eternity. And to give us the chance this year to move beyond the Bible app or daily notes. And to be challenged to meet Jesus on the cusp of the dawn afresh. By coming together as a church in our time of waiting. Because the word Advent means coming from the Latin Adventus. So Advent is an appropriate name for this season that remembers the coming of Jesus. Both the first time when he slipped in at the back door of the world in the manger in Bethlehem, and the second time when he returns in all his glory as Lord of the whole earth. Understand, says Paul, the time you're living in. Between the first and second comings of Jesus. This is a key time. This is a Kairos moment, a unique, significant opportunity to make the best of the present moment. And so in these verses, Paul outlines this time of Advent as the season of transition from sleep to watching and waiting. On the cusp of the dawn, you're waiting for change. You're moving from darkness into light, but you're not there yet. So keep your focus. Be careful. Do not slip back into slumber. We are watching. Watching for the light to dawn. You're looking ahead for the moment of arrival. Be in anticipation of the dawn, of the coming of Jesus, the light of the world. And in the Advent season, we will need wisdom to choose well. Because on the cusp of the dawn, you're torn in two directions. Back into the ways of darkness, if you're not careful, and forwards into the light of Jesus coming. So as part of understanding the present time, we need to engage in the art of double listening. Now, what that means is that double listening is when you hear from God what's on his heart for contemporary situations, and you're simultaneously watching what's going on in the culture, so that part of moving from sleep to watchfulness with your double listening, you're working up a skill of wisdom that can be fruitfully practiced in Advent and beyond, knowing the mind of the Lord and how it applies to current situations. How to speak prophetically into our time and age. And the fourth feature in the waiting of the Advent season is transformation. Over the season of Advent, we've obviously got all these ways in which we can engage in watching, gaining wisdom. So do catch up with some of those. Because as a church, we want to make Advent a really special time of waiting on God in prayer. With the expectation that we will know the mind of the Lord together. Because it's always a corporate thing to know the mind of the Lord. It's rare that it's one individual voice. Things have to be discerned together. And then together, we'll be transformed afresh and clothed with the nature of Christ himself. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, this is a really important process. A sense of straining away from the dark and coming into the light. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Psalm 130. Our Isaiah reading encouraged us to walk in the light of the Lord. And in the gloom, waiting for full light to come, it is the Lord that we look to. He is the only true source of light. So what might keep us from being part of this Advent Kairos moment this year? Well, Jesus gave his disciples many examples of the ways in which we can miss out on a key time such as this. He did this often using parables, and here are some of the pitfalls that he outlined. First of all, we can miss what's going on through slumbering on. We engage in the sleep of unawareness. Luke's gospel has a story of a person who was so oblivious to what Jesus might be doing that he got caught out. Jesus said this person was like a householder ambushed by a thief in the night. And Jesus said if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So to make the most of Advent, we need first of all to be expectant. Who's coming tonight? Who am I going to hear from? The song that we sang before the Bible reading this morning was all about expectation. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. A thoughtful song or seasonal hymn can always be a great way to start a time of prayer. It gets you in the mood. It gets you focused. Don't ever think that God as well. Don't ever think God is not interested in your prayers. God is always there, ready to listen to us. All too often it is you and me who are not paying attention. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." So let's come to Advent prayer with expectation. Secondly, we need to be prepared. Jesus told us about the sleep of unpreparedness in his parable about the wise and foolish maidens. It's about a group of young women who are to be bridesmaids at a wedding. And instead of waiting, making sure they're ready for the arrival of the bridegroom, some of them become drowsy and fall asleep. Then at midnight, says Jesus, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him." But the ones who dropped off weren't ready. When Jesus came again, they were shut out of the wedding feast. They missed the moment. So Jesus warns at the end of the parable, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." These people missed out on the second coming of Jesus, according to the parable. But unlike them, of course, we need to be alert to the times that we're in, not to drop off on the job, to be caught snoozing. We need to be ready for the midnight cry, whatever that means for us in our generation. The third way we can miss out is through withdrawal. The occasions when it can seem like just too much effort to engage in prayer at all. The times when we're tired or feel we are too busy or overwhelmed with the pressures of life. In fact, that's just the time to be engaging. Jesus' disciples fell into this trap in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus asked them to stay awake and pray with him, they opted out. And in the end, it was Jesus alone who spotted the moment when the soldiers appeared to arrest him. Only he was ready for them. You know, the sleep of withdrawal is so insidious. We can think we're present when we're not. Just as the disciples were present physically in the garden, going through the motions, we're in danger of doing that and not really being present with what God's doing. It's a bit like when your Advent season gets no deeper than eating the chocolate from your Advent calendar. And in his book of Advent readings, John Sentamu writes this about prayer. "Waiting on God is a real challenge to our character and to the quality of our love. Waiting requires trust, patience, obedience, hope, and determination. It also requires energy to remain focused in spite of the distractions of anxiety or the weariness of boredom. And finally, check what you're wearing. At night, we wear different clothes from in the day, and the type of clothing matters. You're not going to walk out in your pyjamas this morning. It's a bit nippy. When I taught at a school, I always wore a suit. It was quite a smart place. Even the sixth form, years 12 and 13, wore suits. But I did find that wearing something smart helped to get me in the mood. So by the time I got to the school, I was mentally already in the zone. That's the sort of process that the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Romans 13. What he's saying goes deeper than simply an outward show. Because the spiritual battle is so tough, God gives us the armour of light so that we're transformed in our thinking from the inside out. As you look at this list now, what challenges you the most? Each of those temptations, what do I need to look to God to change specifically for me? I have to say, I looked at this list again yesterday and I thought about my past week and I just thought, well, I've just failed in all of them. And yet I do know that I really want that Kairos moment to come out of my slumber and to be ready for the full light of the Son of God to shine on me, to join in this call to be watching in prayer, to discern the times, to see what God is doing and where he is leading. And if we trust in him, he will take us there. Are you up for an Advent like this? Engaging in a fresh sense of expectation, regardless of how you failed before. You know, there's a great promise in Malachi to encourage us. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. For you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. The Wesleys wrote a whole Christmas hymn around it. For you to revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will arise with healing in its rays. When we look to him, he transforms us by his radiating love. In 1912, a woman called Minnie Louise Haskins published a book of poetry. And one of those poems, known as The Gate of the Year, was later to become quite famous. King George VI, our late Queen's father, used it in his Christmas radio broadcast to the nation in 1939. It was the start of World War II. Times were tough, and the King did not have much good news to offer. But he ended his speech on a note of hope. Because as he looked to the new year ahead, the king focused not at the problems, but on God. And to do this, he quoted Haskins' poem. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely unto the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. He then closes with a prayer. But the king missed off the last two lines of the poem. So I'm going to read the poem again, including those last two lines. And as I do so, bear in mind the fact that Advent is the start of the church's year. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and he led me towards the hills and the breaking of the day in the lone east. So, how are we going to respond to this call? The call to be waiting on God in prayer in this season, to be watching, to be understanding the times in this Kairos moment in which we stand, here on the cusp of a fresh new dawn, when the light of Jesus Christ will appear. We're going to have a short time of silence now before moving into prayer together.
We are encouraged to be creative in our worship. So for our intercessions this morning, seeing as we've just finished a series on the Psalms, I've written our prayers in the style of a psalm. And as you know, one of the beauties of a psalm is that you can be ruthlessly honest before God. God, you are the light of our lives. You bring light to our darkest morning, but how long, O God, how long do we have to wait to see your justice prevail? Today our world, no, your world, Lord, seems a dark place. We see violence, war, tribalism, exploitation, inequality, starvation, climate damage, selfishness. And though we dare not voice the plea, we often think, where are you, O God of light? Why do you let the despots of darkness hold sway over your beautiful world? Why do you allow your planet to be polluted, your rivers run dry, your landscapes to burn, your seas to fill with rubbish? Why do cattle and crops die and the people mourn? How long do we have to wait to see your justice prevail? We feel helpless and without hope that our small bit might change these things. And as we wait, we cry out to you, Lord God of all goodness and light, to bring that light of Jesus, to bring that light of your Holy Spirit to shine into these dark corners of our world, filling them with a light of healing and justice. And as we wait, we cry out to you, Lord of truth, to reveal yourself to all humanity, that they may see for themselves that your truth is the only light that brings hope for our future. And as we wait, we cry out to you, Lord God of justice, for governments of the world to pay heed, not just to their own country's ambitions, but to the basic rights of every human being created as we are in your image. And as we wait, we cry out to you, O Lord God of righteousness, to shine your light into our lives, so we too may have the scales of injustice removed and see the world as you do. Stir humanity, shake the collective conscience of your created people, all colours, races, creeds, stir us all to play our part. And God, lover of our hearts, we cry out in behalf of those for whom illness, despair, fear, anxiety or remorse drown out their ability to pray. We cry to you to heal the hurting, bring light into the dark hours of their lives and in their suffering. Oh God, in the silence we bring those on our hearts into your light. And as we wait, we can cry out to you in confidence, assured of your love, because God, you have done such a beautiful thing in coming to earth as Jesus, to identify with our struggles, our weaknesses and our failings, and to show us through the cross the true meaning of sacrificial love. And so it is to you that we raise our eyes this morning, raise our souls and our minds in praise, in awe, in love and in hope. For whilst we wait in these dark times, we trust, believe and place our hope, our expectation that your everlasting light will one day shine undiminished in the hearts of all men, women, young people and children in our world. No, Lord, in your world, because you are the one and only God, and we wait here for you.
Waiting here. Thank you.
God's people, united with Christians throughout the world and in heaven, united with those who've gone before, the whole company of heaven. Let us affirm what is true of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, saying together, we believe in God, the Father, Creator of heaven and earth. The one who is full of patience, who is not afraid of silence, who does not need to fill each moment with activity and noise. The one who is beyond bluster and flurry, and who does not jostle for attention. We believe in God the Son, our Saviour of creation, who slipped into Bethlehem one night, mostly unnoticed, who lived 30 years without headlines or hurry, who frequently took time alone with his patient father, who waited for the right time to become the suffering servant, who stood quietly before the noise of his accusers, whose silence overpowered their words, who died, then rose again on a quiet Sunday morning. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, giver of life, who strengthens and empowers, renews and refreshes, sometimes arriving without obvious power, sometimes with the quiet breath of a whisper. We believe in one God who merchantly waits for us and who longs for us to do the same. And finally, the great prayer of the church at this Advent time, the collect for Advent Sunday. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We celebrate the hope of Advent. Christ. We have that hope and we have that calling to share that hope with others. We have a simple way of doing that and an opportunity to deliver to each home in this parish one of these leaflets entitled Light in the Darkness. As we take a bundle of these in a road that's near to where you live and you can deliver them over the next week or so, praying for each household as you post that letter through their box and praying God's blessing upon them. We can see transformation happen. because Jesus is at work and Jesus will bring transformation in this world. So please do take a bundle, sign your name on the list, and see that as part of your opportunity to serve the Lord in these next few days. If you would like one of those leaflets that Helen spoke of and Dave spoke of, there are more available now. Please do take one to show all the different things that are going on and make it part of your Advent discipline to shine as a light in this world. So let us pray. May the Lord, when he comes, find us watching and waiting. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you all and all whom you love, this Advent and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.